and grace, only the saving structure means it, astucia. Astucia. And that means the authority that God has delegated unto us. And the other word to consider is the word dunamis. Say dunamis.
Dunamis.
Say, I have the dunamis of God in my life. Now turn to two persons and say, I have the dunamis of God in my life. Two persons. And these are the more common words. The other word that we want to see, shout out the word if you remember. Did I say? Say that again. Kata. No. Kratos. Kratos. There are four Greek words for power. The first is the word astucia. Second is the word dunamis. The next word is the word kratos. And kratos means the invincible power of God. It is a power that makes us immune to the attacks of Satan. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that has been put into our lives so that whatever happens through storms and through floods, through fires and through pressures, we will come out without even the smell of fire on our hair and on our clothing. It is the power of God that makes us invincible to all the works of the darkness, all the works of devils. It's called the invincible power of God. Astucia is what we call the power of position. Position. God delegate it unto you. Dunamis is the power of content. That is, the substance itself contains power. TNT, trinotrotolian, is an explosive. It is an explosive that has inherent explosive power. If you just bring it up to the right temperature, it would explode. It's the power of content. And kratos is the invincible power. Power of invincibility. To be invincible means, as we define here in Acts chapter 1, I'm going to refresh Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 talks about dunamis. And then in Ephesians chapter 6 talks about be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, in the kratos of the Lord, the invincible power of God in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is what we have defined to be invincible. The invincible power of God is a power that makes you incapable of being conquered, subdued, or defeated. It's the power of God that makes you incapable. There's no way you can be defeated, no way you can be conquered, no way you can be subdued. That's the power of God called kratos. And the next power, the four Greek word that we study on the word power, shout it out if you remember. Yeah, you tico? No. Bible didn't make you tico. Shout it out again. Alright. It's good. And that power is what we call the power through efficiency. The power through efficiency. See, the Corinthian Christians have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but Paul says you can have all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but unless you use it in love, it profits you nothing. So there's a lot of energy going on, but it is non-profitable. The same way, a car that is noisy does not mean it's a powerful car. In the olden days, the cars were very noisy. When you start a car, it sounds like you have the airport in your backyard. It goes pop, 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 pop. And have you heard the old cars recently? I mean, they really make a lot of noise. It goes pop, 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 pop. It sounds more like a boat than a car as you go through the federal highway. Now that car makes a lot of noise, but it's inefficient. It cannot come against those modern cars. And some of the modern cars are so quiet, but yet efficient. The power is used up correctly. So, it's good to talk about the power of God is used efficiently. Efficiently. And that word we need to define a little bit more. I want you to look at a scripture where the word iskus is defined. Right? Let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Rather, Mark chapter 12, verse 13. Let's consider Mark. Chapter 12, verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your iskus. With all your strength. It's the word iskus that is translated there as strength. As strength. With all your iskus. Now all of us have strength. All of us have a natural strength. It's not about our body. Now your body can spend all your strength running round and round and achieving nothing. Your body can be placed in a position to run a straight line and you will cover a great distance. So we love God with all our strength. We use all our strength efficiently for God. It's good. It's good is a word that has been translated many times as strength. Sometimes as power. It's strength. And here is where we consider grace. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16, we say that we are teaching on grace, and this is our continuation of our teaching on grace. As we consider grace, we have defined grace to be the tangible power of God. Grace is not just a divine attribute and an attitude. Grace is a tangible impartation of God into our spirit. It's a tangible power, touchable, feelable power of God that is transmitted in our spirit. Grace is a commodity, not just an attribute of God. In the Old Testament, they had grace as an attribute of God. Noah found grace in God's eyes. Grace is still a divine attribute and attitude, but in the New Testament, the teaching comes for that grace is a commodity. It's a commodity that can be transferred from God to us. A commodity that can be transferred from one individual to another. Grace is a commodity that can be transferred. And it is stored in our spirit man. So Hebrews 4 verse 16 tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and refresh your mind. Refresh your memories on the word of God that we have covered. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Saints, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. God's throne is called a throne of grace. That's where you obtain grace. That we may obtain mercy. Mercy is his attitude. When you come before God's throne of grace, when God accepts you, it is based on his mercy. That is God's attribute. Have you noticed the two words mercy? You come in God's mercy, and then you go back after finding grace. You come to God's throne in mercy, because mercy accepts you. Mercy opens its arms to you. There is the attribute and attitude of God. God's favor on you. But you come, and you receive a tangible grace. You find grace. The word find is the word obtain. You obtain grace. A commodity, have it transferred into your spirit. In your time of need, when you need help, you need to draw grace. This understanding of grace is going to transform your whole Christian life. Because we have seen enough of men and women living under their own strength. But the world has not seen what will happen if men and women of God begin to live according to God's strength. The world has seen a little bit here and there of what God can do to a man and woman of God who will give themselves to draw on the strength of God. What that man and woman can do. And the world has seen how Christianity struggles under its own strength, its own wisdom. But the world in these last days is going to see what men and women of God are going to do through the power of the Spirit of God, through the impartation of God's strength on their lives. It's going to be far beyond what we are able to touch or dream or achieve in our own strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. So here we have the throne of God. We have the four words there. We are children of God. And we need to come to God in mercy. The only way you receive mercy, you must have a position with God. Unless God is your Father, you cannot come in. So God gives you a position. John chapter 1 verse 12. He says that as many as receive Christ, to them, He gave the right. There is the exousia, the right, the position to become sons of God. And so when we approach God's throne, we are approaching on exousia. Exousia, authority, your position as sons of God. You can come to God's throne boldly. You come to seek grace. You're approaching under exousia. And exousia brings you forward to the throne of grace. As you come before God's throne, the next thing you receive is dunamis. Dunamis. Dunamis is the power of content, a tangible anointing. Dunamis is related to the anointing, it's related to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you shall receive power, dunamis, in Acts 1:8. It's a tangible anointing. The anointing is tangible. Jesus, when in Mark chapter 5, he was walking, the woman touched him, touched his garment. Jesus said, I felt power went to me. It's tangible enough for him to feel it. It's a tangible power that's transmitted. And so when we come under number one, exousia. Can you say exousia? We come to the throne of grace. We come to the throne of grace based on exousia, our position. Then when you come to God's throne, you receive dunamis. Say, we come to God's throne and we receive dunamis. Dunamis. We receive dunamis. Now, dunamis comes into your spirit. Dunamis enlarges your spirit. Dunamis strengthens your spirit. You know what makes a person invincible? Strength. Why is it that they say that some places are hard to conquer? Let's look at battles. The Golan Heights in Israel was a very hard place to conquer. Israel paid a very heavy price to conquer that hill. Because it's in a high position. In a high position, in the Golan Heights, when the enemies were on it, it's very hard to capture, because when you try to come, they shoot you down. They have a better view over you. So it's a hard place to conquer. Same with King David's palace, where he transferred everything and he built it on the hill called Zion. Mount Zion. It was a very good place, a strategic place. A strategic location. It's very hard to conquer the place. It is fully protected. Let's analyze it. Let's meditate on it. Why is it invincible? Because there are a lot of natural barriers that protect the place. There are solid barriers. Barriers of rocks and heights, etc. Now let's consider something closer to home. Supposing that we say that your home is invincible. What are we talking about? Let's say it's physically invincible. That means if I come to your home, I'll probably find something that looks like a nuclear shelter. Solid, thick, even radioactivity can't penetrate. So when I come to your home and have a look, it looks like a flyover. Solid, thick. See, it's invincible to bombing. It's invincible to radioactivity. And I have to crawl into your home. Looks like nuclear shelter. You see, it's such a thing, such a powerful structure in natural that it could stand the bombing. One thing invincible, there was a strength. Now the ordinary home, you just drop one bomb, you don't need an atomic bomb. Don't even talk about atomic bomb. You drop an ordinary, powerful, normal bomb, your walls will come down. In fact, nowadays they are building some flats, they are so thin. There's one particular flat where my brother is staying in Johor Bahru, and it's made from cement bricks. You have to be very careful. Because if you lean too hard, you see your neighbor, second to your neighbor. When I knock on the wall, I say, this is no real wall. You just need an extra strong man to give a punch and you can pass the food over to your neighbor. So it doesn't have strength. physically. What do we mean by invincible? There's a thickness in wall. There's something done to the structure that makes it strong. Now here we're talking about the invincible power of God. Kratos. What happens? You come under exousia. Then you receive dunamis. Dunamis is the power of the Holy Spirit. You receive dunamis. When dunamis gets into you, your spirit and soul get strengthened. There's something done to your spirit and your soul. When you receive grace, there's something in you that makes you able to stand in the fire, makes you able to stand under pressure. When you grow on grace, Paul says that when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, three times he said, God, take away this thorn in the flesh. The thorn in the flesh was so big, huge. It was a messenger from Satan. To people, and maybe even directly, it keeps putting pressure on him. He was not sick, it was just a demonic oppression. To people and to all kinds of ways. It was a thorn on him. The pressure was on. And he prayed unto God, cried three times in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Jesus answered his prayer after the third cry, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. And so the power of God comes in grace. Grace was imparted into Paul. Paul's inner man. And that grace caused his inner man to be strengthened. Something was built into his inner man. His inner man is different. If right now, all of us were to be stripped of our bodies, we will see your naked spirit. Some of your naked spirit will be very skinny because you didn't meditate on God's word. Some of your naked spirit will be good, strong, well. Now in the spirit realm, the strength of your spirit can be seen in the light that glows from your spirit. If all of us were to take off our natural body, straight away we only have our spirits and souls, we could see light into you in your spirit. Many years back when I first started in the ministry, God really frightened me. And he was not a God of fear, but I saw myself as God saw my spirit. And I saw my spirit, it was skinny, real skinny. It looked like that fellow in the long ago on TV that you have the water berries compound. There was a skinny guy that walked, and a strong wind blew and he goes somersaulting, boom, and then he walks again. And the strong wind blows and he goes somersaulting, water berries compound. Then the next moment, the advertisement, he takes the water berries compound. He goes, boom. Then he walks, strong, no problem. The same way each one of us have our spirit. Our spirit needs to be trained, our spirit needs to be fed, our spirit needs to be strengthened. Our spirits need to receive, continue to draw from God. Our spirit can never sustain itself alone. Adam tried that, he failed. Adam's spirit was cut off from God and his spirit could not sustain him. For if your spirit is weak, your spirit cannot sustain you. Our spirits need to continually draw strength from God. We have to keep in contact with God. We draw nourishment from God. And so our spirits are in different sizes according to our spiritual strength. Different strength. What happens when you receive grace? When grace is imparted, there's something that comes into your spirit that makes you impenetrable, that makes you invincible. What another Christian could not go through, you could go through with a smile. What someone said difficult, you say easy. What someone said impossible, you say possible. What makes you different? Not your outside, not your wisdom, not your ability, but the grace of God that has come into your spirit. And has put Kratos into you. Kratos into you. See, when dunamis comes, it's imparted, it builds Kratos into you. It builds an inherent ability to stand under pressure. Invincible to all the attacks of Satan. And when Kratos comes into you, you and Kratos cannot be differentiated. That strength that was once upon a time from God, God's throne, imparted through the Holy Spirit, comes into you and builds into your spirit, now becomes a part of you. It is your strength now. Your strength. You cannot differentiate whether it's God or yours, because you are changing from glory to glory. It's become a part of you. Let me illustrate. For example, if you have eaten a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? Once upon a time, the Kentucky Fried Chicken was outside. It was outside. How many of you know what I'm talking about, Kentucky Fried Chicken? Right? I better don't overemphasize that part because I see some of your saliva dropping. So the Kentucky Fried Chicken, finger licking good. You should taste Philip Simon's Fried Chicken, so licking good. So we have the Kentucky Fried Chicken, and it's outside of you. You take that fried chicken, you ate it, your mouth chews it, all your gastric juices in your stomach digest it, break it down. About 48 hours later, or maybe 3 days later, that fried chicken, what was that fried chicken, all the molecules, the proteins involved, have been broken down, and they have been used in your body in a mysterious way. It has formed your cell. So that fried chicken is no more fried chicken. If Tan Akau ate it, Tan Akau goes to the Kentucky Fried Chicken, orders the Kentucky Fried Chicken, he ate it. 3 days later, that fried chicken is actually now part of Tan Akau. The proteins and all the nutrition all inside. So it's become, you cannot differentiate between Tan Akau and the fried chicken anymore. You better pray. Because if you can differentiate, what happens is, if your body rejects the food and your body says, no, the food says, I'm going to remain food. And your body says, no, if you don't change, you cannot come into my body, you will throw it all out. You cannot digest it. It cannot become a part of you. So when we come to each course, that means that from God's exousia, you draw dunamis, and from dunamis, it becomes kratos, it's built into you, and from kratos, it becomes a part of you. You can walk so close with God, that it's very hard to differentiate between you and God. So that Jesus Christ said, the works that I do is the Father that did it. But if you read the Gospels, it was also Jesus who did it. Jesus was the one who said it. Jesus was the one who put his hands out. You cannot differentiate between Jesus and the Father. You say, we are one. You can walk so close to the Holy Spirit that what the Holy Spirit is what you do. What you like to do is what the Holy Spirit likes to do. You're so close to the Holy Spirit that we cannot differentiate between the two of you. Happy Kumans was like that. You can walk so close to God that God is a part of you, a part of God is you. That's how God says, I want you to be one in me and I in you. We can walk so close to God. That is grace transforming and becoming a part of our strength. Now, we understanding these four Greek words, definitions of power, when you read all the passages on grace, you will understand more. Now, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul in his prayer cried to God. And he says, God answered in verse 9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. So there's an infusion of grace. For, no, I'm going to read the Greek word. For my dunamis. Dunamis belong to God. My dunamis is made perfect in weakness. Now, when dunamis makes a part of your weakness perfect, that is kratos working. You understand that? All right? Let me illustrate it so clear that you cannot miss it at all. Praise God. I love illustration. Praise God. Now, this is a piece of brick. So, we build a house, we build a wall. So, we build a wall here. Thank you. Can you face them here? This is a brick, one brick. Let me get another brick. Yes, another piece of brick. Praise God. A big piece of brick. Praise God. Right, now you stand here. Right, here, over here. Alright, now there's a gap between the bricks, alright? Now let's get another piece of brick here. Praise God. Alright, this brick always smiling. Praise God. Praise God. So we got another piece of brick here. We are building a wall, right? We are building a wall. So you stand right here. Thank you. Praise God. So we have here a wall. But you notice the wall has holes. Right? I can fit you to the wall. Right? So the wall has holes. So I want the wall to be complete. So Paul says that I am weak. What did he say? He says there's a part of me that is lacking. This wall is weak. There's something needed in that wall. Need strength. Need strength. And so you go to God. Say, God, I'm weak. All of us are weak in ourselves. You will find in many areas of your life as you pursue that you come to the end of yourself. In every area. When you reach that point, you need to draw grace. Grace is an impartation into your spirit. And so Paul said, I'm weak. I cannot stand the pressure. I cannot take it. I'm weak. And God says, my dunamis. He says, my grace is enough for you. He turns around and says, my dunamis. My dunamis is made perfect in weakness. He has a weakness there. Now that dunamis is going to make his weakness into strength. This is what is going to happen. So God says, let me send dunamis. Yes. So this is Mr. Dunamis. Right. This is a tangible dunamis. He comes. God sends it and he puts it there. Thank you. Right there. So there he is. Now he's closing the gap there in your weakness of character, weakness of ability, weakness in any area, weakness in wisdom, any area you draw grace. God brings dunamis and he puts it and fills up the gap where you need help. He fills it up. He's the author and finisher. That's why I say grace. If you need grace, you can do something up to 60%. God gives you 45%, 105%. He covers up what you don't have if you draw strength from him. The grace of God. And so God says, I give you dunamis. I give you dunamis. So here's some more dunamis. Praise God. Right, here we have dunamis. So the dunamis, God says, I'm going to fill it up there. Thank you. Dunamis. Right? So we have filled it up. It's a wall now. It's a human wall. So the weakness has been healed. And notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He says that God says, my strength is made perfect. Now the wall was imperfect. The wall has holes in it. Just now we only had the three bricks. It has holes in it. It's imperfect. When you are weak, you are imperfect. Do you know God is perfect? He's never defeated, never conquered, never depressed, never without joy. God is always undefeatable. God is the perfect God. There's nothing he cannot do. If there's one thing God cannot do, he's no more God. God is all-powerful, he's perfect. But we are imperfect. So when you are imperfect, you have holes in your walls. Paul says he was imperfect. God says, I will make you perfect. Not by your strength, not by your strength, but by my strength. He says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. My strength will come to you. Then Paul turns around. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmity, that the dunamis of Christ may rest upon me. Now, when you read it in the Greek, it's beautiful. The dunamis of Christ may rest upon me. And then Paul goes on to say, in the next verse, therefore Paul says I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in need, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. Dunamis comes into me, builds into me. I am strong. Paul says, I'm strong. Now, just for a moment, turn to 2 Timothy. For a while, we keep the wall there for some time. 2 Timothy, look at grace, how grace operates. Chapter 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul is not telling Timothy to be strong in himself, to be strong in his own wisdom. As we have said, it's marvelous the way God works. God chose an uneducated man, a fisherman, a rough-talking guy, a street person who had no education at all, and God sent him to the educated Jews. And God chose an educated person, a poor brother under Gamaliel's feet, the best teacher in town, scholar, a scholarly man, and sent him to the barbarian. God don't like us to glory in our own strength. Because when we do, we take the glory. But when it's something we cannot do, we need to draw on God. God gets the glory. God loves to do it. So Paul says to Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. In the grace of God. And here he says here, the word strong is the word en dunamau. That means be inwardly strengthened. It's the word dunamis. It means en dunamis. If I say courage, I'm just talking generally. Any courage is to put courage in a person, to lift a person up. So dunamis is God's power. Paul says en dunamau. Be strengthened. Now let me interpret the Greek to you. Paul is saying, be strengthened inwardly in the grace of God. There are only two times that Greek word endunamol is used. One here, another time in Ephesians 6. Turn to Ephesians 6. And verse 10. Finally, my brethren, he talks about spiritual battle. He talks about the battles in your life. Whatever area, do you realize that whether your difficulty is a financial difficulty, your difficulty is a difficulty in your physical body area, your difficulty is relationship problem, your difficulty is any area, you do not wrestle with flesh and blood. The key behind it is the spiritual battle involved. And Paul says, finally, my brethren, be en dunamau. Be strengthened from within. In the Lord and in the kratos of His Iskus. Can you see the play on the three words now? Have I explained to you? The dunamis gets into you, be strong, inwardly strong. And then it gets into you in the kratos of His Iskus. It becomes a part of you. That's why Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 could come and say that I can do it. Do you know this? Sir? Now you look back at 2 Corinthians 12, you gain a tremendous understanding in the workings of the Spirit of God in his life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Now here Paul was saying he was weak. And then God says, my grace, my dunamis, I give to you. The word strength is dunamis. And the dunamis gets into Paul. Paul says, he's strong. And Paul begins to talk in verse 10. I take pleasure. Now Paul is saying, I. The Paul who said he was weak now says, I. Because now the power of God has moved into his spirit and is not differentiable from him. He is the one who is strong now. It's God's strength, but Paul said, I. Do you notice that verse 10? Paul said, I am able to do it now. When the wall is built inside you, you cannot differentiate anymore. It's all just you and God, God and you. God and you, you and God. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a clap offering while they go back to their seat. Thank you, gentlemen. Now here we look again at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Notice here in verse 3. Grace, again grace, and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine dunamis. That is the word dunamis. His divine power. His divine dunamis has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Now you read on, you will notice kratos and iskus working. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partaker. Notice, you may be partaker. That strength have a part in you and you have a part in God. You cannot differentiate yourself and God. You become one, fused together in God. Fused together in God. That you become a partaker of the divine nature. If you have the nature of God in you, you're invincible. If you have a nature of God in you, there's nothing you cannot withstand. If you have the nature of God in you, as God's wisdom, you can do all things in Christ. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The nature of God becomes a part of you. You move under the direction of God's nature. You become a part of God and God becomes a part of you. God's nature is infused into you. And it all happens by drawing grace. Now as you look at all these words, it's marvelous how the grace of God that you receive is an inward experience. I want to emphasize that modern Christianity has failed to emphasize on Christ in you. We've been taught a lot of facts about Christ. About Christ. About what He has done. About all those things, which are good and true. But I want you to know that Christ is in you. Paul says this is the hope of glory. The realization of the inward dwelling Christ is the key to the last day revival. And to do the works of Jesus Christ, Jesus said to His disciples, you don't understand how you see me, you see the Father. But let me explain to you, Jesus said in John 14. He said, you see the works that I do, all the miracles that I did, believe in me that the Father is in me doing it. Well, when you see me, you see the Father. He says, the works that I do, in John 14, verse 10 and 11, the works that I do, not I who do, but the Father in me who did it. I want you to know that the secret to the works of Jesus is the indwelling of the Father in you. He was intimately and fully conscious wherever He walked on the shores of Galilee. He was more conscious of the invisible Father and the invisible Holy Spirit in Him and on Him than He was of Peter, James and John and all the other disciples. Than He was of all the geographical surroundings, beautiful though they be. Than all the crowds that surround Him. Jesus was constantly involved with the Father. Involved with the Father. There were times when great miracles take place, but these are nothing to Him. He loved the presence of the Father more than anything. He comes back to the Father. He prays. He seeks after the Father. He develops a vital, living relationship with the Father. Even when He walked the streets of Jerusalem, He was more conscious. He was not sightseeing like some people when they go. But when He walked the streets of Jerusalem, He was more conscious of the streets in heaven. He was more conscious of heavenly presence of the Father than He is all around. When the crowds were surrounding Him and as He was walking in Mark chapter 5, He was so conscious of the presence of God. When for a moment the presence of God flowed through Him, He said, somebody touched me. I want you to understand Jesus and how He moved, how He walked. And Jesus turned around in John 14 verse 12 and Jesus Christ says that most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He will do the works that I do. And greater works than this, He will do. But don't forget the last sentence. Because I go to my Father. And He took three chapters, 14, 15, and 16. Three chapters of John to explain about what He means because I go to my Father. Could you imagine that? Three chapters He explained about the Holy Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit is, what He came to do. He has come to abide in you forever. When I go to my Father, it's good for you. I no longer leave you as orphans, but I will come to you again. He explained about the Holy Spirit. For three chapters, He explained about because I go to my Father, what will happen. I will send the Comforter, the Helper. And the secret of doing the works of Jesus, the greater works of Jesus, are in being sensitive to the indwelling movements of the Holy Spirit in our spirit. The moving of the Holy Spirit within us. Of Christ in us. That's the secret. And that is grace. Growing from Him. Growing from Him. Grace is an inward act. We will consider more as we go along. I'll just give you a little bit. In Galatians 2, when Paul was saying about his ministry as an apostle, he said that he perceived that Peter, James, and John, who were the pillars of the church, perceived the grace of God that was given to him. There's nothing that you can work out except what was worked in. Unless you receive from God, you can never give up. Unless you grow from God, you can never give it for. That is an established principle in the New Testament. That's why Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Each one of us are what we are because of the grace of God. The grace of God is imparted into our lives. And brethren, it is not just exhibition. You have a part to draw grace. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Find mercy. Obtain mercy. Obtain grace. In mercy, obtain grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Obtain grace. And one of the most precious revelations that Paul had. I mean, he has been to the third heaven. He has stand in the presence of God. Saw all the glories of God. He came back and he still got a thorn in the flesh. And one of the most marvelous, beautiful revelations that Paul received was that of the grace of God. It was received when he came back. When he learned the secrets of God's grace. Look at the way he prayed in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, I pray for you that you may know the inward working of Christ in you. Now this turn very briefly to Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. The two prayers. Notice his prayer is on the indwelling of Christ in their lives. Ephesians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at chapter 1. Paul prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now, it's all inside you. It's all taking place inside you. Inside you. That you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, let's start by verse 18. So you tell me, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints is. Such a long phrase and title. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Where is it? In the saints. Not on the saints, not beside the saints, in the saints. Paul is praying, I pray that you will know Christ in you. Christ in you is the deposit of Christ's grace. Now, when the Bible talks about the word riches of His glory, that is another phrase that defines grace. Another word that defines grace. If we give a Bible definition of grace, it will mean the riches of God's glory in Christ Jesus. Look at the context in Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse 6 and verse 7. To the praise of the glory of His what? Everybody? Shout it out. Shout it out. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved. And look at verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His, everybody. Shout it out. You love Jesus, shut it out. Grace. Now, in the context of Paul teaching, as he was teaching, he was so exuberant in the teaching of God, so caught up in that grace, that he comes and prays for the Ephesians. I pray that you all will understand it. This riches of the glory of His inheritance in the King. Then he concludes about the power of God. The power of God in verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? That's the word, His dunamis. To others who believe. Now, here we tie everything together. Dunamis. How is it going to come to you? In you. His dunamis. To others who believe. According to the working of His iskus, kratos. There you have it all in. The word mighty power is iskus kratos. So you have dunamis, iskus kratos. You see, all everything mixed up in you, building bricks in your life. No wonder Peter says, we are living stones, built for a habitation of God. Individually, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Corporately, we are all one body in Christ, the one temple of the Holy Spirit, the habitation of God. Everything has to do with God's power working in us. His power being a part of us. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 3, just take a little peek at chapter 2. Verse 8. Verse 7 and 8, you just cannot miss it. I mean, you cannot read this book without missing what Paul is saying about grace. His revelation on grace, his understanding of the grace of God. In verse 7, he said, that in the ages to come, he might show. He is saying, in every generation, there will be a revival of the Holy Spirit. In every age, in every generation, in the church age, God is going to show the power of his grace. There you have it. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Before that, Paul is saying we are all seated in heavenly places in Christ. That is our exousia, our position in God. Because of your position in God, your exousia in God, you can grow grace. Come boldly. Now, if the Bible tells us to come boldly, that means if you don't come boldly, you don't receive. It's not automatic. If the Bible tells you to come and receive, then it means it's not automatic. There's a part you have to play. So the Bible exhorts us, come boldly to the throne of grace. And you receive mercy, obtain grace. If you don't come, you don't receive. It is not a promise that is automatic. It is a promise of God that needs to be taken off. And it says in the next verse, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Then not of yourself, it's the gift of God, the gift of God. And in verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Every good work you can do is the good work God has placed in you. First, you can only give out what he puts in. Then you go to chapter 3. As Paul is going to pray now, you cannot miss it. I repeat, you cannot miss it in this book. Many times you may have read through the book of Ephesians, but you have not got the full glimpse of what Paul was talking about, of this grace of God that's free to be received because of what Jesus has done. In order that we don't miss it, let's slowly move and introduce it in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Verse 2. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Marvelous. He's still on the subject, man. He hasn't changed his subject yet. 3 chapters now, and he still couldn't say he's talking about grace. Me, I don't know what number message this is, but we could talk on grace. If you have a revelation on grace, you will walk like Paul. You will walk like Jesus. You will understand how. Because all human beings have weaknesses. I have, you have, everyone. And the problem is not that God has not given. The problem is that we have not understood how to draw strength from God to fill up the gaps in our weakness and then be like what God wants us to be. Paul says the revelation of grace in his life. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in a few words. Now let's look in verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men. We have introduced this subject we talked about in Peter when Paul says how all the prophets have sought to understand the grace of God given to us. Special. Oh, if you only see what Jesus has bought for you with his precious blood. The blood of Jesus was paying for something. Paying for grace. Tangible grace. Paul says, oh, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit through His holy apostles and prophets. Verse 7. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the, what's that word? Grace of God, given to me by the effective working of His dunamis. See that word dunamis again? Grace and dunamis go together, friends. Grace and dunamis go together. You want power, you must understand grace. Receiving the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. That's what Zechariah 4:6 says. And introducing the subject, Paul says in verse 9. See how excited he is in verse 8 and 9. I tell you, he gets excited. For me, who am less than the least of all the saints, no matter who you are, no matter how unworthy you feel, thank God, it's not who you are, but who is in you. It's who God is in you. Paul says, I'm nothing. Yet this man who said that wrote half of the New Testament. This man who said this brought the gospel to the known, whole known world at that time. This man who says he's the least. Why? Because he understood grace. That grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden, who created all things to Christ. This is hidden. Now you can see how it connects to chapter 2 verse 7 about how in all ages God wants to show His grace. He wants to show His power. Your defeat over Satan, the victory of the church, the prosperity of the church, as I have taught, how prosperity is tied up to grace. When He talks about receiving abundant grace, you receive prosperity. People prophesy about the church is going to get back all that the devil has stolen. You know how? Not by your strength. When the church appropriates the grace of God, then you will have the riches of God. Chapter 3, now you go to this prayer. He says that in verse 16, that He would grant you, He's praying, He's saying, He's bowing His knee before the Father, and He says, I pray that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, that's His grace, to be kratos. You see that word? Strengthen, inherent strength come to you, invincible strength that perfects your weaknesses with might. That is with dunamis. Kratos with dunamis through His Spirit in the inner man. It's within it. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. He is praying for Christians. He is praying for tongue-talking Christians, the Ephesians. And He is praying that Christ may dwell in them more and more through the impartation of grace into them. Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, according to the dunamis that is working inside us. See, dunamis works inside you. People always think dunamis works outside. It works inside. It has to flow from your spirit. It must affect your soul first. When Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit, the first thing He did was overcome the temptations of the flesh in His own soul, in His own mind, in His own body. And when He left, then the anointing of God was on Him. Dunamis must work within you first. And the promise of God here is to you, it says in verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If we can grasp what the Bible is talking about grace. Wonderful revelation on grace. You understand how to draw grace from God. Now there's another little bit as we conclude on being established in grace. We need to understand this. Sometimes in the past we have not understand grace. We hear people say, after they've gone through a difficult time, they say, oh, thank God for the grace of God. Not for the grace of God, I kaput. I want you to know that grace must be working constantly in your life. It is not when you're in trouble. We have a misconception. We have a misconception that all the time we do our own thing, do our own thing. You get the problem, grace. Right? That's what most people conceive of grace. But I want you to know that we must be established in this teaching on grace so that we learn, and this is the secret. You draw grace before you get into a situation. You don't get into the situation, oh, tolong, 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 tolong. Grace, 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 grace. That's a misconception. Every day, let me explain why you have to do your devotional life, why you have to spend time with God every day. Because grace gets used up. Grace flows in your life. You need continually to draw on it. If for a moment you stop spending time with God, you will fall. We need Him. We need Him. Without Him, we can do nothing. Without Him, we die. We are intimately, intricately woven in Him. The word, wait on the Lord. The word, wait on the Lord. They that wait upon me, means to entwine yourself in God. And renew their strength. Exchange your weakness for His strength. To entwine yourself in God. God is in you. You are in God. This is the glory Jesus prayed for in John 17. He says that they are in me, I in them. As I am in you, Father, and you in me. So they are in me, I in them. That my glory is in them. The last day glory. This is oneness. Learning to walk in union with God. We need to be established in that. Don't just draw grace when you need help. Every day, this is a purpose for you. For coming into God's presence. Now this is what happened many times when people come into God's presence. They come, you know, spend their normal time, praise, worship. They go back. You know why? They have not allowed exousia to draw dunamis, to convert to kratos, to convert to iskus, and then you walk out. See the problem now? It's just like the cow. How would you like if all the cow eats is grass and all it gives you is grass? Isn't it marvelous that black cows can eat green grass and give you white milk? Marvelous. Now the cows have to convert the grass to milk. You don't give the cow grass, you won't get milk from the cow. You may only have a barbecue cow after that. You want milk from the cow, you have to keep feeding the cow grass. Apacha's cow. The Filipos family have a cow. You want to do the experimentation, go and visit their home. Feed Apacha's cow. I did that, right? I remember I fed that fat cow. Feed the cow grass. Wait a while, and he produced milk. Roderick Tay was talking to me, and he said, we have discovered a marvelous way of converting grass to milk. And I was waiting for a technological answer. I was thinking the Singaporeans have just discovered something that the whole world needs. Say, we have just discovered a marvelous way of converting grass to milk. Say, marvelous. What new technology is this? And he said, all we do, get a cow, you eat grass, and you get milk. Now it's important as you come to God and you come in exousia. You know, a lot of Christians have exousia, but they don't use it. We know it. They're teachings on the authority of the believer. Now, your authority of the devil, you have authority with God to draw something from God. Great. And when you make use of that, you draw dunamis. You draw dunamis, you must wait on God. You must wait on God long enough to be entwined with Him. For His dunamis to form into Kratos, you sense a tangible strength. You will sense a tangible impartation in your inward man. Be strengthened from inside. Receive an inward strength. And when the inward strength is in you, you walk out of your prayer closet. Don't go before that. Stay long enough until exousia is converted everything into its good. Strength. I would love the Lord my God with all my strength. My iskus. Strength of God in you. So we must establish in that. Every day I need to draw strength. I love to spend time with God because I know I need Him. You know, Catherine Kuhlman, used by God, miracles happen. Thousands get miracles. But every time before she goes, she says, God, I die a thousand deaths. I cannot do it, Lord. She will weep and cry before God. Say, I'm nothing, oh God. And these people's needs are so great. So she draws grace in time of need. Not her own need, the needs of others. She draws grace in God. And when she walked out on the platform, the Holy Spirit was with her. When she walked out on the platform, it was time to give gifts. Hallelujah. So people who don't walk with God, who don't entwine and test with God, who just come to a meeting, I mean, you're not spending time with God. If God wants to use you for something, you're spending time in your own cell, reading the paper, seeing the Nazis, seeing Dallas, stealing gun smoke. And you come and you pray for people, hallelujah. You dance and you sing, you come, you pray, gun smoke come out. Didn't spend your time with God. Cannot. And some people, when you know, when we come to a meeting like this, sometimes if you watch me, I mean, I'm relaxed. I've done all my praying at home. We don't come here and say, oh, so long, God, so long, so long. The wrong time you should be doing that at home. Catherine Kuhlman told all her staff and all her people, she said, I don't want you to come here and start praying. I want you to come here, pray up. You do all your homework and you come ready to give. That's the way it is. We must spend time with God every day, draw and twine with God. Be established in that doctrine. And remember, every day you need grace. I don't care what kind of work or profession you do, small and big. You cannot go through the day without grace. Every day you need to draw grace from God. You need to spend time drawing grace from God. I spend time drawing grace from God. I draw grace not for myself, I draw grace for the needs of the church. To give out. Grace of God. Draw grace from God. Every day. And even when I'm not preaching, I draw grace because I say, God, I know what Jesus meant when He said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Verse 5. That means not only ministry, it means your normal Christian life. Catherine Kuhlman said, if for one moment the Holy Spirit leave her, she will be a terrible person. Same with me here. For one moment the Holy Spirit leaves me, I'm back in the flesh. You may not realize it, but I'm very bad in the flesh. I don't look as innocent as I am now. But get in the flesh. But I don't allow it. We don't allow it. We entwine ourselves with God and only draw grace. Every day we need His grace. Every day. First person you wake up, talk to God. Draw grace. God, it's a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Draw strength from Him and survive and overcome. Not only survive, overcome, conquer, invincible strength. You cannot go through it without God. It's an establishment in your life. You're drawing unto God. Then the Hebrews,
chapter 13, verse 9, verse 8 and 9. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with food which has not profited those that have been occupied with them. It is good that the heart is established in grace. That means it's become a habit with you. As much a habit of drawing grace from God, so that every day you draw on the grace of God, as much as you get up, you go to the toilet, you take the toothbrush, and you automatically brush the left side or the right side of your teeth first. Automatic with you. You didn't have to say, hand, reach out for toothbrush. Hand, take toothbrush out. Hand, squeeze the toothpaste. Hand, put the toothpaste there. You don't have to do all these things, right? Maybe the first time you did it when you're a little bitty child, you may have done it struggle. But it becomes a habit with you. We must be established. The word established is the same word that you find in Galatians. Did I say Galatians? Yes, in Colossians chapter 2 verse 7. Galatians 1 is for later, alright? Colossians chapter 2 verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established. The word established means rooted. You learn the secrets of drawing. You learn the secrets of waiting on God, drawing grace from Him. And this is where we go to Galatians, a marvelous verse that you may never see in this light before. You already turn to Galatians. Chapter 5, verse 4. You know you can fall from grace. The Galatians fell from grace. Not that they lost their salvation. No, they didn't lose their salvation. But there was something that they had not learned how to do. Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. You have been estranged from Christ. You have pulled away like a branch pulled out from the vine. You have pulled yourself away from God. You are no more in union with Him. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Marvelous. Can fall from grace. They didn't lose their salvation. What they lost was they didn't understand how to keep drawing grace from God. They wanted to establish themselves. They go back to their own strength. And I want you to know we are all like the Galatians. We always want to go back to our strength. We always want to go back to our own effort. We always, after some time, even after God used you for some area, you always want to go back to your own way. You always want to go back to depending on yourself. Sometimes God anointed you. You start preaching and teaching easily, flow with the Spirit of God. Then after some time, you lost your confidence. You go back, you study like a bookworm. You come out and you give a bookworm message. You rely on work. I want you to know that everything we do, we need to learn to rely intimately on the Holy Spirit. Everything. Everything. Whatever aspect, whether it's the teaching, praying for the sick, whether your normal Christian life, you must learn not to depend on your own strength. The first thing I do when I get up in the morning is look in the mirror and say, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live this day without Jesus. Draw grace from Him. Draw grace from Him. And draw grace from Him. Draw grace from Him. Every day, you can fall from grace. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Do you know a lot of branches can pull off, on? We don't lose our salvation and our relationship as son and father, but we lost our union. Lost our union with God. The union is tangible. I like the book by Bill Quist, Shake, about a lady who came to know Jesus from her former faith. And she's the book called I Dare to Call Him Father. She learned about abiding. She said sometimes there's a peace, a fragrance around her. Then she told a little lie. The glory seemed to disappear. She was still a child of God. But that presence was missing. What was that? She lost the union. But she still had a position. And so she learned to draw in the presence of God. She learned to make the right decisions. She learned to flow in that presence. He is called Emmanuel. Do you know abiding in your heart today is the presence of Christ? And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will abide, garrison, and guard you. There is in every Christian a tangible presence of Christ in you. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It must be established in grace where you learn. The Holy Spirit will warn you. Sometimes, it's very easy to lead a Christian life. Easier than the Old Testament saints when they had the pillar of cloud. It was easy already in the pillar of cloud, but God made it easier for us. You know, in the Old Testament, when they left the Egypt, God followed them. A pillar of cloud in the daytime and a pillar of fire in the nighttime. Every time they know where to go. In the wilderness, it's a very complicated place. Don't try, right? If you go to the Sahara Desert, find your way around, not easy. But God will lead them. They are led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And that fire of God that is flowing around, whenever the pillar lives up, they all start talking the thing. You ask them, where are you going? I don't know. Do you know the desert? I don't know. Have you any met in the desert? No. Are you afraid of getting lost? No. How do you know the way? I just follow the pillar of cloud. When it turns right, I turn right. At night, it gives me light. When it turns left, I turn left. When it goes straight, I go straight. If it stops, I stop. Isn't it easy to lead that kind of Christian life? Some of you say, oh, how I wish I got pillar of cloud. Every day before you go out, you say, wait till the pillar of cloud moves. Then you drive your car, follow the pillar of cloud. Pillar of cloud turn left. Follow the pillar of cloud. Did you know that you have a pillar of cloud inside you? The Holy Spirit has come inside you. The presence of God has come inside you. It's no more outside now. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The pillar of cloud is inside. Sometimes it's like a fire. Sometimes it's like His glory and fragrance. Sometimes it's a strong peace. Sometimes it's direction. I know when I stop following the pillar of cloud. When the cloud goes this way, I want to go this way. Then I know that I have missed it. You realize how wonderful? You know what treasure is? See, there's a pillar of cloud inside you. So the pillar of cloud, if you walk, say, turn left, you turn right. The pillar of cloud is pushing you in this way. And you are going this way. You felt, what is that? The struggle inside you. Why? Because the pillar wants to go that way. So it goes cross current. So you sense it in your spirit. But when you go this way, the peace and the flow. Isn't it easy? You have a pillar of cloud inside you. Jesus has not left you often. Jesus will not leave you alone. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, Mr. Holy Spirit. He has come, pillar of cloud inside you. When we minister to people, just now when we were worshipping God, the Holy Spirit said, I want to anoint those who want to dance for me. Pillar of cloud. So pillar of cloud, yes, yes sir. Yes, Mr. Holy Spirit. I give you respect, I give you reverence. So they call them, I will anoint them. I say, yes, Mr. Holy Spirit. And I saw something to minister about. Mr. Holy Spirit said, not yet, wait until after the meeting. Say, yes, Mr. Holy Spirit, yes, pillar of cloud, pillar of fire. You obey Him. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. When you're ministering, when you're praying for people, listen to the pillar of cloud in you. It's now more powerful, now amplified, now placed individually inside. Isn't it wonderful? Now we all have our little pillar of cloud. So that you can do one thing obeying God there, I can do one thing obeying God here. And yet we are all in harmony. Last time, they only had one big pillar, one big cloud. When they can't go, everybody go this way. But now, God is doing so many thousands of things that we all have our little... I was almost going to say baby pillar, baby cloud. But it's not baby, it's strong. It's still the same presence inside us. We established. You draw on grace. This burning bush inside you, Moses' burning bush inside you, needs constantly to draw grace. Have you noticed how grace is connected to Christ dwelling in us in Ephesians 3? The riches of God's glory. presence inside our life, God's glory inside our life. And that's the area that we need to get into. Turn with me to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Wonderful Jesus. Verse 2. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Grace will make you stand. Grace is not only for you to when you fall. Grace is what keeps you standing. Remember Ephesians 6 verse 10? Before Paul tells you to stand in the onslaught of the enemy, he says, be strong in my might, my power. Be inwardly strengthened. Do you notice that? Before you take the whole armor, he tells you in verse 10, be endunamor. Be strengthened inwardly. That's the grace of God in our lives. And this is a prophecy that's written in a different way in the Word of God here. But I want you to see here, Romans chapter 5, verse 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many die, much more. Now just as you see today in the world, the whole world is filled with filth and sin. Terrible things are being done in the world. As terrible as the world is, God says, I'm going to show my grace. Paul prophesied, in the ages to come, the riches of God's grace is going to be demonstrated. As much evil as you see now today in the world, you're going to see as much power. Just as, like the offense. For if by one man's offense, many die. By Adam all die. Much more, brethren, in the last days the church is going to show something much more than that what the world can do. Much more, much more. Look at the world today. Everything seems to be worldly. Everything seems to be devil control. The time is coming when God is going to put a stop to all these things. And God is going to show to His body. God is going to show to His church. Who draw on grace, that Christ is greater than Satan. And that is when Jesus prayed in John 17 is going to be fulfilled, just before the rapture. He says, much more the grace of God, and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded in many. Now that's not all. Verse 21. So then, as sin reigned in death, in your weaknesses, in your life, as sin has done that. And here is where we say you're establishing grace. Grace is not just to establish you. Grace is not just to make you stand. I want you to know grace is the power that makes you reign. Says here, even so, grace might reign. That means rule, conquer through righteousness, through eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The grace of God. So grace is not just a doctrine when you fall. Grace is something you must establish yourself in God. That every day you draw grace from God. So that grace will make you triumph. The grace will make you achieve beyond what you normally can. The grace of God. Let's all sing to our feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.